The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ through His minister. We believe you will be richly blessed.
Lamentations 3 from verse 20. It's not a weeping prophet. There are mysteries in Lamentation. A Lamentation is after Jeremiah, written by Jeremiah. And he said quite a whole lot of things there. The scripture was introduced to me when I was younger, much younger. And it was shown to me that as a man, then it was being projected to us as a male man. You know, that as a man, a lot of responsibility lies upon you. But I think much more than the male man, all of us together, as God's children, a lot of responsibilities lie upon us. Hallelujah. He said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions, they do what? They fail not. Let's go on. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord, my portion. You see that? There's something we call apposition in English. Apposition is when you use another quality of somebody to describe that same person. For instance, Reverend Busuyi Olabode has arrived this morning. Is that okay? Now, but I can say Reverend Busuyi Olabode, the senior pastor of Eternal Life Embassy. You see that? The senior pastor of Eternal Life Embassy is equal to Reverend Busuyi Olabode. So that the senior pastor of Eternal Life Embassy is called apposition. I extended the meaning of what I have said earlier. So when you see that, he said, the Lord, my portion. The Lord, my portion. He could have gone ahead to just say, the Lord say it. But not to tell you who the Lord also is. The Lord is our portion. Now, there is a portion that is given to the soul to take. When the brethren of Joseph met him in Egypt, they sat at meat with him and they gave them portions to eat. But when he got to Benjamin, they gave him 5 portions, more than the portions of all his brethren. And because of the love that Joseph had for him. The pastor described for us last night, there is a portion, the soul, as a container. Now, there is something that can contain the soul, that the soul can contain. That is the content designed for the soul. Any other thing that comes in there, the soul can take them. But the only thing that the soul will say, now I am satisfied, is the Lord. So without the Lord, you can never be satisfied. And so it doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter your pursuit. It doesn't matter the things you strive to accomplish on the face of the earth. When the Lord is not there, you have not done anything. You have run from pillar to post. You have labored in vain. You know, it's not good to labor in the wrong direction. Reverend Ken used to say, what is the need for speed in the wrong direction? What is the need for speed when you are going towards the wrong direction? But there is something that is important, that when the soul gets the Lord, the soul becomes satisfied. He said, therefore will I do what? Hope in Him. So our hope should be what? Him, the Lord, who is our portion. There is a portion meant for you. And that is what your hope should be in. He said to them in Corinthians that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So that your hope will not be in what is under the sun. That your hope, the hope of a man, should be the Lord. Because the Lord is my light and my salvation. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So if the Lord is not the hope of the soul cannot have salvation. The soul can never enjoy light. The soul will labor in the very fire. The soul will do so many things that appear to be pleasing to God, but will never be pleasing to God.
Many are not here today because the Lord is not yet their portion. The Lord is not yet their desire, what they seek for. A senior man of God visited me just last week that I've seen, you know, about 20 years ago. He just looked for me and came to see me in the office, and we talked for hours. And then he said something to me which I've never seen before in Matthew 25, the story of the 10 virgins. He said, 5 virgins were wise, right? They had oil in their lamp, and 5 were foolish. It's not that they don't have oil in the lamp, but they didn't have extra. He said, but when the bridegroom came, pastor has told us at the time that there was a company of people who made the cry. The watchmen, the prophetic come that made the cry. That we hardly talk about those set. But the set this man of God told me was very, I've never thought about it. He said, when they told them, go and buy. He said, actually, some people were selling the oil. Some people who were not there, who are not ready to go with the bridegroom, they had oil. They had more oil than the wise people had, because they even have to sell, but they are not going anywhere. I have never seen it that way. So some people are there and they are busy selling the oil that people are rushing, looking for to enter in with the bridegroom. Yeah, they have depot, oil depot ministry. So he said many people will be like that. Many people are like that today. They are merchandising it. They don't care about the Lord, but they know it, what it is that the people of the Lord wants. So they are ready to give it, but they are going nowhere. And many are like that today in the church. Oh, that's a pitiable state. And then he said to me, he said, that day there will be surprises. And Pastor said something also that he said yesterday, and that made my heart afraid. We were talking about a man of God who God told clearly what he should do. But this man of God did not do all of that. He started doing something else, and then he died. And then he told me, he said, I told him. He told me some things. I said, I didn't even know this about him. He said, I told him. Then he said, he appeared to me in his dream, and I saw him wandering. He said, he's not even sure whether he went to heaven. I was afraid. I didn't comment. But last night, Pastor said something to that. He said, you say somebody is born again, man. He's born again, he's saved. He can do what he likes. Then he said, don't add to what the Bible is silent about. When Satan fills your heart, don't say, it's just Satan feels his heart. No problem. His spirit is saved. He's saved. He's going to go to heaven. But where is that thing that Ezekiel said now? When a righteous man does iniquity, his righteousness will be forgotten. They used to make us afraid those days when we were younger that it is what the Lord meets in your hand that he will judge you with. So, and it's to make us not to live on past glory. So you must know that we are treading in a dicey place. And we are dealing with a man who has destroyed empires. Oh, we are dealing with that cherub, that priest. He knows what he's doing. He has brought down so many men. He has destroyed kingdom. You know how many men have tested after God? You know how many men have tried to look for God? But Satan stood with them. For 20 years, he studied them until he was able to get them. And then they became part of the trophy he has collected. Then he's going after. But we must not fall prey. I used to say, if I do what everybody does, then how am I different? If I do what in my place of work, if I do what my colleagues are doing, then what is the difference? Then I don't have a testimony. I'm not even trying to say I am a special, but that by the reason of my life, I shouldn't be doing what they do. What makes difference? It's not just what we say, but the life that we live. So the Lord is our goal. The Lord is our focus. And then it goes on to say in verse 25, the Lord is good unto them that do what? That wait for him. To the soul that seeketh him. So the Lord is good. The goodness of God is salvation. So in other words, the Lord will show salvation to them that look for him and to them that wait for him. Those who seek him. We are in the season to seek the Lord. Especially as the young people, we are in the time to seek the Lord. Hallelujah. Seek the Lord while he may be found. A time will come, he will not be found. It's not that the Lord will not be there. Oh, the Lord will be there. But the journey to get to where he is, you will not be able to accomplish it anymore. Oh, time will have passed. You will wish in yourself you were a lot younger so that you can give yourself to these things. But you don't need to wait until you see the need to. You must just begin to dive in. And let the Lord take over the lordship of your life. Let the Lord control everything about your life. Don't have plans outside God. Don't have ambition outside God. Don't have vision. There is only one vision. That vision is the design of God to save humanity. That is, should be your own vision. You know, in my place of work, they said when you want to be promoted, there's a professor who needed 18 papers to become a professor. He submitted 75. Another one, it became a competition. Another one submitted over 100 papers. And then I wonder, what is the essence? They needed 18. Why don't you just give them 18 or 19 or 20? Why giving 75 or 100 is just to prove something, to say we are there. And truly, they are making the point. Oh, but in the eternal reality, those things don't matter. And this is where we should give more than enough. This part, the cost of Christ, is where you should give more than necessary. When you have done it, or you say, I am unprofitable, I don't even know whether God will reckon with that, let me do more. You race more into him. You know, said in verse 26 quickly, he said, it is good that a man should do what? Should both hope. See the way he's repeating hope and wait. For the salvation of the Lord. So the salvation of the Lord is what we hope for, and it's what we wait for. It's what we hope for. It is what we wait for. Isaiah 30:18. He said, therefore the Lord will be gracious to thee. And therefore will the Lord wait for you. For blessed are those who wait for him. Now, God has waited for man. It is now time for man to wait for God. Pastor said to us yesterday, nobody had ever thought of going to seek God until David appeared on the scene. God was always coming to man. In the cool of the day, he came to Adam. He came to them. In fact, in Tower of Babel, he said, let us go and even see what they are doing. It was God who came down to inspect. Nobody ever thought, let us go to. But David was the man that said, I want to go to him. I don't just want him to come looking for me all the time. Let me be found in his presence. And the Lord is asking us, where are we? Where are we at this point in our lives? We should be located in his presence. There is a circumference that is called his presence. We need to be located there. Because that is where God will reckon with. It is the activities done there. Now, if the priest prays in the Aaron, if he takes the blood to the outer court and sprinkle and pray, will God hear that prayer? No, there is a particular place he has to enter for him to pray. He now said in verse 27, it is good for a man to do what? That he bear what? The yoke in his youth. Now, he didn't say it is good for a man to bear his yoke. It is good for a man to bear the yoke. That is what we call the yoke. And the Lord is the yoke. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my what? Is what they call my yoke. It's the yoke. The yoke, meaning that you have to be aligned with him and to begin to go in step with him. Now, that yoke also is the will of God, which is in Acts 13 verse 22, where Paul began to talk about David and was talking about the life he had lived. He now said in somewhere, verse 33, I think, he said, and David served the will of God. He said he served his generation by the will of God. Another man of God said he served the will of God in his generation. But the Bible says he served his generation by the will of God. A real man after God's heart is a man of service. He's a man who serves. And what do you serve? You don't just serve table. You don't serve anything. You serve the will of the Lord. David served the will of the Lord in his generation. Afterwards, he fell asleep. Afterward, he felt asleep. Now, there was something God intended for David in his generation. He said, there were they in great fear, for God is in the generation of the righteous. It is time to serve the will of God in your generation. You can't serve the will that you don't know. You must know what the will of the Lord is. Be ye not unwise. Ephesians 5, 16, of verse 17 said, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So, nobody knows that will. Don't think you know God. We don't know him yet. We only know what he shows to us, like Pastor told us yesterday. We only know what he allows us to know. The secret things belong to God. And the things that are revealed, they belong to us and our children, that we may do the law. What about the things that are not revealed? They are still the Lord's. They are there, but he has not revealed them. They are still his. So, if you now say, based on what is revealed, you say, yeah, we are trying. We have known the Lord. Now, we will fall into the same errors the people that have gone ahead are falling into. The people that will see today and say, hey, they have tabernacle. There is no desire. They don't see anything in God anymore to know. Be careful lest you also get to that point. Because you feel that what you know now is the thing. Is the in thing. No. Keep following God. He said to Peter, what is that to you? Follow me. What is that to you? I am not addressing you. I am telling John what will happen about him. You have not asked me about your life. You are asking about John. You follow me. You don't yet know where we are going. You don't yet know what I want to do with you. Follow me. So it is time for us to seek the will of the Lord and to know it. He said, the God of our fathers has chosen you. Acts 22:14. That you may do what? See the just one. Hear the voice of his mouth and know his will. If you don't see the just one, of course, you can't be talking about hope. Hope involves your sight. Then you must hear the voice. Not just his words. You must hear the voice. Because his word carries his voice. And when you hear his voice today, what is he saying to your heart? Don't harden your heart. Respond to God. I know men sometimes have their own things. They have their own idea. They have their own world. They have an empire in them. That if God allows them, you will not imagine what they will do. And I'm talking about you. If God opens the empire you have built in your heart, and you are just wishing, God, just allow me. Ah, if I can only have money. And I will do this. In fact, all the young brothers in the church, I will empower them with 1 million. No, that is not from the will. Is that born from the will? You will give some people 1 million and you will take them away from the path of life. I'm telling you. You give some people, you bless them naturally like this. You have done what? You have removed them. Because that moment, something will open to them. They will begin to race into perdition also. Now, is that of God? No. You need to begin to crumple down the empire in your heart in the form of imaginations. Because you have not begun to do the will of God. And the will of God is another empire on its own. Now, you can't have your own and do his own. Now, the second tabernacle will not be revealed while the first one is standing. No, the first has to be taken away. You have your own system of worship. You have established for yourself your own system of... No, you have to stop and you must sack yourself from that priesthood and come to seek that which is the will of God. And I trust that this one day, tomorrow, a lot will come to us that will help us to make journey. Not just ordinary journey, it will make an acceptable journey to God. That every step we begin to take as men, henceforth, and as believers, after this meeting, will always be right. It's possible to get it right, but it begins from your heart. Your heart must be set on God. Your heart must be set on pilgrimage. You must hope in God. You must wait for him. Don't run ahead of God. He said in Psalm 32 verse 8, don't be like the horse. Don't be like the mule. The horse is too fast. The mule is too slow. No, you must keep in step. He said, I will guide you with my eye. I will guide you with my eye. There's something in the eye of the Lord. He didn't say, I will guide you with my eyes. He said, my eye. He will be over you. He will watch over you. He will tele-guide your life because he's the one who knows the way. He has passed the way before. Now, if somebody advises you that, when you get to that junction, this is how it is, you may not know whether he's talking about the same junction you are. Everybody will talk from their own experiences. Oh, but the Lord's eye alone gets it right. The Lord's eyes alone knows it. So you must be locked to that eye and say, Lord, I am willing that you guide me with your eye. Hallelujah. And it will guide us safely in the name of Jesus. Can we give God praise this morning?
We believe you have heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the word that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us on any of our meetings? You can join us for Lively Friends and Partners Forum first and third Saturday of every month by 8 a.m. on Wednesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. all at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 at DME College Road, Ondo. For more information, please call 0703-895-5483 or 0803-850-6491. Or you contact us at livemanifestation@yahoo.com. Remain blessed.